So if you look at the year-to-date data for Wise County, Texas, you see this real estate market that just, you know, appears to finally be taking a breather.
Right. Yeah. Taking a big pause.
Exactly. Like, prices are down. Overall volume looks really sluggish. And the long-term trend lines are basically pointing toward a very quiet, cooling environment.
Which, I mean, makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. For late July 2026, it totally does. But then you isolate the immediate single-month data for June, and suddenly you are staring at just a completely different landscape.
Oh, totally different. It's wild.
Right. You see prices accelerating rapidly, buyer volume is surging, and inventory is tightening up like a drum.
Yeah, it's really something.
We're essentially looking at two entirely contradictory realities existing within the exact same zip codes.
It really is the ultimate stress test for how we interpret economic signals. Because if you are just, you know, skimming the headlines or looking at those aggregated 12-month rolling averages, you are going to draw conclusions that are fundamentally disconnected from what is actually happening on the ground today.
Yeah, you'd completely miss the real story.
Exactly. The data we are looking at reveals a market in the middle of a massive, heavily measured recalibration.
And well, that recalibration is exactly what we're going to tear apart today.
Let's do it.
Because if you are tracking local economic mechanics, or looking to deploy capital, or even just trying to time a personal move, this deep dive into the source material is built for you.
Right.
Our mission is strictly focused on Wise County, which is that fascinating transitional space northwest of Fort Worth, where the relentless suburban expansion of the DFW Metroplex just collides with genuine rural Texas acreage.
It's a really unique pocket.
It really is. So to unpack this anomaly, we are pulling from a highly specific stack of sources.
That's got a lot to go through.
We do. We're looking at the entry's local market updates spanning from the first quarter through June 2026, the Texas A&M MLS summary reports, and the latest MarketWatch quarterly reports.
Oh, and the mortgage data, right?
Yes, exactly. We are layering all of that against the DFW Mortgage Rate Intelligence Report, which gives us the mid-July rate environment.
Which is so critical, honestly, because you just cannot understand the current behavior of buyers and sellers in Wise County without understanding the exact cost of capital they're dealing with this summer.
Right. The rates dictate everything.
They do. Like, the Ntrace and A&M data gives us the structural reality of the houses and the land, but the rate intelligence gives us the psychology of the transaction.
Yeah, the human element behind the numbers.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's start with that structural reality and track the timeline of the median sales price.
Okay, let's get into it.
We need to figure out how this market suddenly found its footing right as the summer heat arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So if we rewind to the first quarter of this year, around March 2026, the MarketWatch report pegged the median sales price in Wise County at $352,698.
Okay, yeah.
Which was a 6.4% drop year over year. I mean, that's a clear, undeniable contraction.
Right. And the narrative in the spring, driven by that Q1 data, was basically that the pricing floor was falling out.
Yeah, everyone was freaking out.
Totally. Sellers were panicking and buyers were pulling back because they were anticipating further drops, you know?
And that narrative seemed totally validated by the May 2026 data. Because the year-to-date median dropped even further to exactly $355,000,
yeah,
which was down 7.8% from the prior year.
Right.
And if you isolated just single-family homes in May, it looked even worse.
It really did.
The median sat at $372,500, marking a 9% year-over-year decline for the month.
Wow, 9%.
Yeah, so through May, all the alarms are ringing. The market is demonstrably shrinking.
But, you know, this is where the danger of recency bias comes in.
Oh, for sure. Explain that.
Well, a lot of casual observers and even seasoned market watchers saw that 9% decline in May's single-family median and just assumed the trajectory was permanently set for the rest of the year.
They thought it was a free fall.
Exactly. They assumed we were entering a prolonged deep freeze in pricing, but they were ignoring the underlying mechanics of why prices were dropping.
Right.
Prices weren't dropping because Wise County suddenly became undesirable. I mean, they were dropping because sellers were finally being forced to reconcile their asking prices with the reality of the buyer's debt-to-income limits.
So they were basically burning off the speculative pricing from the 2024 and 2025 peak.
Exactly. It was a required mechanical adjustment, not some sort of systemic collapse.
Which brings us to the sudden pivot in June.
The big surprise.
Yeah, the June 2026 data completely subverts the May trend line.
It really throws a wrench in it.
June's single-month median price for all properties jumped to $369,500. That's up 5.5% year-over-year.
A huge swing.
And for single-family homes specifically, we saw 133 closed transactions with a median of $390,250.
Right, which is wild.
That is a 5% year-over-year increase for the month. And crucially, the sheer volume of single-family sales jumped 12%.
Yeah, that volume jump is the key.
So we go from a 9% drop in May to a 5% gain in June, accompanied by this double-digit surge in volume.
And this is why we have to separate those year-to-date figures from the isolated single-month performance.
Right, you can't just lump them together.
No, because the year-to-date median through the end of June is sitting at $359,190. That is still down 5.5% compared to the first half of last year.
Because it's dragging the anchor of that sluggish first quarter.
Precisely. The year-to-date data is an artifact of the past. It tells us what the market was doing while it was searching for a floor.
Makes sense.
But the June single-month data tells us that the floor was not only found, but it proved to be incredibly solid, you know.
Yeah.
When sellers finally adjusted their prices downward in Q1 and May to meet the reality of mid-6% interest rates, they unlocked a massive reservoir of shadow demand.
Shadow demand being the buyers who, like, wanted to purchase in early spring but were just sitting on the sidelines waiting for the math to make sense.
Yes, exactly. They were pre-approved, they were motivated, but they were literally mathematically locked out by the peak pricing.
Right, their lenders just wouldn't clear it.
Exactly. But once the median dipped into that $350,000 to $370,000 range, the monthly payments finally penciled out for them.
Oh, okay.
And that is what triggered the 12% jump in transaction volume in June.
The dam broke.
Yes. The buyers flooded back in, and that renewed competition immediately began pushing the single-month median back up to $390,250.
I look at this dynamic, and I don't see a market that is randomly oscillating. Like, I see a market operating like a clutch in a manual transmission.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. In the spring, the engine was revving, demand was there, but the clutch wasn't engaging because the pricing was just out of sync with the interest rates.
Right.
In May, the sellers finally let the clutch out, the gears caught, the transaction volume spiked, and now the car is actively accelerating forward in June.
Yeah, it's moving again.
So are we looking at a scenario where sellers have fully regained their leverage?
Well, I would push back slightly on the idea that sellers have fully regained their leverage.
Oh, really? Why is that?
It is a highly conditional leverage. They have leverage if and only if they acknowledge the newly established floor.
Okay, got it.
The buyers driving this June volume are not those speculative blank check buyers we saw a few years ago.
Right, they aren't just throwing money around.
No, they are highly rate sensitive and highly pragmatic. If a seller tries to push their asking price back up to those unadjusted 2024 peak levels, that clutch is going to slip again and their house will just sit.
Yeah, the math just won't work.
Exactly. The leverage only exists at the current sustainable median.
That makes perfect sense for the median. But, you know, this brings us to a massive structural divergence in the data.
Oh, the divergence is fascinating.
While the median is behaving like this rational, calibrated machine, the average price in Wise County is telling a story of extreme economic disparity.
This is arguably the most important trend line in the entire source stack, honestly.
Let's get into it.
The divergence between the median and the average right now is staggering.
Let's lay out the exact number so you can really picture this. We know that in May 2026, the median was down significantly.
Right.
But the average sales price in May was $458,276.
Yeah.
That was actually up 5.2% year over year.
Which is wild compared to the median.
It really is. Then we look at June 2026. While the median for single family homes crept up to around $390,000, the average sales price across the board skyrocketed to $473,457.
Wow.
That is a 9.5% year-over-year explosion. Mm-hmm.
So while the middle of the market was fighting tooth and nail just to establish a floor and recover 5%, the upper end of the market was quietly pulling the aggregate dollar volume up by nearly double digits.
It looks less like a single real estate market and more like a K-shaped recovery within the county lines.
A classic K-shaped recovery.
Yeah. So if I am looking at homes under $350,000 and my neighbor is looking at homes over $450,000, Are we fundamentally participating in two different economies?
I wouldn't say you are in two entirely different economies because, you know, you are both subject to the same macro forces.
Like job markets and stuff.
Exactly. The same regional job market, the same inflation metrics. But your sensitivity to those forces is what creates this divergence.
How so?
Well, the sub-350K market is overwhelmingly dependent on financing. The buyers in this tier are pushing their debt-to-income ratios to the absolute maximum just to qualify for a loan at mid-6% rates.
They don't have wiggle room.
None. Every 25 basis point shift in the mortgage rate alters their purchasing power by tens of thousands of dollars. They are hitting a hard affordability wall.
Which totally explains why sellers in that lower tier had to aggressively cut prices in the spring just to get deals closed.
Right.
The buyers simply couldn't borrow another dime, no matter how much they wanted the house.
Exactly. But look at the buyers operating north of $450,000, or even pushing into the $600K and $700K range in Wise County.
A totally different crowd.
The demographic makeup of that buyer pool is totally different. You are seeing a heavy influx of equity-rich buyers migrating out of the denser parts of the Metroplex.
So like Dallas, Collin, and Tarrant counties?
Yes. They are selling homes that have appreciated massively over the last decade, and they are rolling that equity into Wise County to get more square footage and a larger lot.
Right, so they aren't constrained by the mid-6% rates.
Not at all.
Because they are either buying in cash or they're financing such a small percentage of the purchase price that the rate is largely irrelevant to their monthly cash flow.
Precisely. They have the financial insulation to bypass the affordability wall entirely.
That's a huge advantage.
It is. And because this demographic is actively targeting Wise County as a premium destination, seeking that blend of suburban convenience and rural space demand for upper-tier properties remains incredibly fierce.
Right, which drives the prices up.
Yes. These buyers have the capital to compete, which drives the prices of those specific premium properties continuously higher.
And that skews the average.
Right. Because those high-dollar transactions carry so much mathematical weight, they are artificially inflating the average price of the entire county by 9.5%.
And that completely masks the genuine struggle happening down at the median.
Exactly. It hides it completely.
The actionable intelligence here, for you, the listener, is highly bifurcated.
Oh, absolutely.
If you are preparing to list a home above $450,000 in this market, you have a distinct tailwind. You are catering to a demographic with high liquidity and high motivation.
You're in a great spot.
But if your property falls under that 350K mark, you cannot look at that 9.5% average increase and just assume it applies to you.
No, that would be a huge mistake.
You are selling to a buyer who is mathematically restricted by the lender. You had to price with surgical precision, or you just will not clear the appraisal and lending hurdles.
It requires an entirely different strategic playbook depending on which side of that threshold your property sits.
Now, to truly grasp why the pricing is behaving this way, you know, why the floor held at the median and why the upper tier is accelerating, we have to look at the supply side.
Always comes back to supply.
Always. Prices are ultimately just an output of inventory constraints. And the supply data in Wise County is behaving very differently than the broader North Texas region.
Yeah, the supply metrics are where we see the discipline of this specific market.
What do you mean by discipline?
Well, if you look at the outer rings of the DFW Metroplex right now, places that saw massive unchecked builder booms over the last few years, they are drowning in bloat.
Oh, yeah. Too many houses.
Exactly. Inventory is piling up, new builds are sitting empty, and aggressive price slashing is rampant.
But Wise County avoided that.
Entirely. Wise County has entirely avoided that fate.
Okay, let's trace the inventory timeline so we can see that.
Sure.
In Q1, around March 2026, the number of active homes for sale was actually up 7.9% year over year.
Right.
There were 682 units on the market. It looked, for a brief moment, like inventory was going to loosen up and give buyers some breathing room going into the spring.
Yeah, there was a real expectation that a wave of sellers, perhaps fatigued by the high rates, were finally going to capitulate and list their homes to downsize or relocate.
But that wave just evaporated.
Totally vanished.
By May 2026, the total supply shrank to 677 active listings, which was an 8.8% year-over-year decline.
Right.
And then we hit June, which is historically the peak time for listing a house, and inventory dropped again to 680 units,
yeah,
representing a 13.5% year-over-year decrease. the pipeline's completely constricted.
And the drop in new listings is even more stark, if you can believe it.
What were those numbers?
In June, we only saw 190 new listings hit the market, down 15% year over year.
Wow.
Yeah. And year to date, new listings are sitting at 1,204, which is a 7% drop from 2025.
This all rolls up into the critical metric of months of supply, which currently sits at exactly 6.3 months in Wise County.
Right, 6.3.
That is a 15% drop from the 7.4 months of supply they had at this time last year. At 6.3 months, we're hovering right on that theoretical equilibrium line, right?
Yes, the textbook balance between a buyer's and a seller's market.
But it doesn't feel perfectly balanced.
Well, we are at equilibrium, but in economic data, velocity and direction are often far more important than the absolute number.
Because of the trend.
Exactly. The fact that supply is dropping by 15% year over year tells us that the scale is actively tipping away from the buyer.
It's moving back to the seller.
Right. The question we have to ask is, why are the sellers refusing to list their homes in a market where buyer demand is clearly returning?
I mean, it has to be the lock-in effect, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%.
The math is just too brutal for a current homeowner to justify a move unless it's driven by an absolute life necessity, like a job relocation, a divorce, or a major growing family.
The lock-in effect is the defining feature of the 2026 market, honestly.
It really is.
If you secured a 30-year fixed mortgage at 3.5% in 2021, and your current home is generally meeting your needs, you are not going to trade that historically cheap debt for a 6.5% mortgage on a slightly larger house.
No way. The increase in the monthly payment for the exact same amount of principal is staggering.
It makes no financial sense.
So the sellers are essentially hoarding the inventory. They are acting like a dam holding back water.
That's a great way to put it.
The reservoir of available homes is slowly draining out as the June buyers scoop them up. But the river feeding the reservoir, the new listings, has dried to a trickle because the current owners just refuse to let go of their cheap debt.
That is an incredibly accurate way to model it. And this is exactly why Wise County is seeing price stabilization while other outer-ring suburbs are seeing price decay.
Because the supply is different.
Right. The supply in Wise County is fundamentally organic. I mean, it is heavily reliant on resale inventory from existing homeowners.
Which are locked in.
Because those homeowners are locked in, supply remains tight. Contrast that with counties heavily dominated by institutional builders, where supply is artificial and relentless, regardless of the rate environment.
You just keep building and slashing prices.
Exactly.
So that discipline on the supply side is giving the patient sellers in Wise County a massive advantage.
Huge advantage.
If you list a well-priced home today, you are not competing against the subdivision of 50 identical vacant new builds offering massive builder rate buy-downs.
Exactly. You are competing against a shrinking pool of organic inventory.
Right.
It allows the resale market to dictate its own terms, which is why that June pricing floor proved so resilient.
Okay, so we have a very clear mechanical understanding of the single-family residential market.
Yeah, that part's tracking.
We see the K-shaped divergence, we see the lock-in effect strangling supply, and we see the resulting price acceleration.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, Wise County's identity isn't just subdivisions.
Not at all.
It is deeply rooted in rural acreage, agricultural land, and legacy ranches. And when we look at the data for dirt, the numbers become incredibly chaotic.
Oh, the rural data is notoriously difficult to parse.
Why is that?
Because it just doesn't adhere to the smooth, high-volume trend lines of suburban residential real estate. It is highly susceptible to extreme statistical distortion.
Let's look at the Texas A&M MLS summary for May and June of 2026.
This is a perfect example.
Under the specific classification of Resi Sale Farm, or Farm and Ranch, the report shows zero closed transactions for both months. Zero.
Which, on its face, looks like a complete localized economic collapse of the agricultural sector.
Right. If you take it literally, you'd assume nobody bought or sold a working farm in Wise County for 60 days.
Right.
But then we look at the broader land segment, which serves as a wider proxy for rural dirt. In May, the land segment recorded 20 closings. That's up 25% year over year.
Okay, so volume was actually up.
Yes. But get this. The average price of those 20 sales was $612,015.
That's massive.
That is a 290% year-over-year spike.
Unbelievable.
Meanwhile, the median land price was $182,010, which is a 58% increase.
And just to highlight the extreme volatility, look at how violently the data swings just 30 days later in June.
Oh, the June land data is wild. 34 sales, up 13% year over year. But the average price plummets back down to $184,453,
Right.
which is just a 3% increase from the previous year. And the median drops 5% down to $145,000.
It's whiplash.
Total whiplash.
Yeah.
Furthermore, land is sitting on the market for an average of 160 days, and the months of supply metric is hovering between 18.4 and 18.7 months.
So we go from a 290% gain to a 3% gain in 30 days.
Yeah.
This is the definition of lumpy data. And we have to dissect the underlying mechanisms causing these massive swings, starting with that zero anomaly in the farm and ranch category.
I have to assume the zero is a reporting artifact, not a reflection of actual market activity, right?
It is entirely a reporting artifact. It's driven by the timeline mechanics of closing a complex rural property.
Explain that process.
Well, when you deal with properties strictly classified as farm and ranch, you are dealing with water rights, mineral rights, agricultural tax exemptions, extensive surveys, and often environmental phase one assessment.
Oh, wow. That sounds complicated.
It is. These transactions rarely fit into a neat 30-day escrow period. They take 60, 90, or even 120 days to cross the finish line.
Makes sense.
If several large ranch deals get delayed by a backlogged surveyor and push their closing from, say, May 28th to June 4th, the month of May records a zero in the MLS system.
Ah, I see.
It is a limitation of the 30-day reporting window, not a sudden evaporation of demand.
Okay, that clarifies the zero. But it doesn't explain the 290% spike in the average land price in May. How do we account for an average price jumping to over 600K on just 20 transactions?
This is where institutional or heavy commercial capital distorts small sample sizes.
Right.
Think about the volume, only 20 properties closed in May.
Yeah.
Now imagine 18 of those transactions are standard. Retail buyers purchasing 5 to 10 acre residential plots to build a custom home.
Okay.
They're paying somewhere around $150,000 to $180,000. But the remaining two transactions are entirely different beasts.
They are legacy ranches or massive parcels being acquired by a developer for future subdivision.
Precisely. If a developer acquires a 400-acre tract along the Highway 287 corridor for $8 million, that single transaction gets dumped into the exact same mathematical pool as the 5-acre custom-built plots.
Oh, wow. That would totally wreck the average.
Yes. That one massive influx of commercial capital will drag the average price of all 20 properties into the stratosphere, creating that 290% statistical illusion.
Which is exactly why the median is the only reliable metric here.
Absolutely.
The median in May was $182,010, up 58%. The median strips away the distortion of the $8 million developer purchase and tells us what the middle of the pack retail buyer is actually experiencing.
And honestly, a 58% jump in the median is still a massive indicator of raw demand for space in Wise County.
It's huge.
But buyers and sellers of land have to recognize that they are playing a completely different game than the residential market.
Because of the liquidity.
Yes, with 18.4 months of supply and an average of 160 days on the market, liquidity is incredibly low.
With over a year and a half of supply, land is an exercise in extreme patience.
It really is.
If you are a seller, you cannot expect a bidding war on weekend one. You are waiting for a buyer who not only has the vision for raw land, but the specific, often higher cost financing required to purchase dirt without a livable structure on it.
Exactly. The buyer pool for raw land is infinitely smaller than the buyer pool for a move-in ready three-bedroom house.
Natural.
But the data shows that when those specialized buyers do arrive, they are highly motivated and totally willing to pay a premium for the right parcel.
So we have pulled apart the mechanics of the residential recovery, the divergence of the upper tier, the supply constraints caused by the lock-in effect, and the statistical volatility of the rural dirt market.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have. Let's synthesize this into actionable intelligence. What are the specific takeaways for someone navigating this late summer market?
The overarching theme is that the market is currently rewarding precision and punishing speculation.
Okay, let's start with sellers.
Let's look at the seller's playbook first. The data indicates that sellers who price their homes correctly in alignment with the current median are capturing over 95% of their original list price.
That is an incredibly strong capture rate.
It is really strong.
But the caveat is the timeline,
yeah,
right? The days on market metric is holding steady at roughly 84 to 85 days.
That is the critical friction point.
Almost 3 months.
Exactly. Capturing 95% of your list price is excellent, but you have to mentally and financially prepare to carry the home for nearly 3 months before closing.
Right.
The buyers are out there. The June volume proves it, but they are taking their time. They are conducting multiple walkthroughs. They are demanding rigorous inspections, and they are negotiating terms.
They aren't rushing.
No, they aren't. And if a seller lists their home and panics after 3 weeks of no offers, prematurely slashing the price, they are just leaving equity on the table.
Conversely, if a seller refuses to acknowledge the mid 6% rate environment and overprices their home based on 2024 comps, they're going to sit on the market well past that 85-day average.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll accumulate days on market stigma and eventually be forced to chase the market down.
Right. And geography matters immensely here, too. The report specifically highlighted high-growth corridors, particularly the 76052 zip code, as prime targets.
Ah, the 76052 corridor, stretching into the Hazlitt and Rome areas. It's fascinating.
It's booming.
It is the exact tip of the spear for Tarrant County's northern expansion into Wise County. You have immediate access to the Alliance Texas Logistics Hubs, major infrastructure improvements along I-35W, and highly rated school districts.
That specific geography is heavily insulated from a lot of the broader market volatility.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah, if you own a well-priced home in 76052, you are in the crosshairs of that equity-rich buyer pool migrating out of Fort Worth. The demand there is structural and long-term.
So what is the playbook for the buyer right now? They are staring down mid-6% rates, which makes the monthly math incredibly tight.
The rates are the undeniable headwind, but the buyer's advantage right now is the 6.3 months of supply.
Right.
Yes, inventory is tightening compared to last year, but 6.3 months still provides a very balanced playing field.
It means you don't have to waive your appraisal contingency, skip the inspection, and offer 50 grand over asking just to get your foot in the door.
Right.
Which was basically the standard operating procedure 2 years ago.
Exactly. Buyers have the leverage of time and options, provided they aren't competing in that ultra-hot upper tier.
Yeah.
In the median price ranges, you can negotiate closing cost assistance to buy down your interest rate. You can require the seller to handle major repairs. You can actually, you know, sleep on a decision.
Wow, what a concept.
I know, right? The market has returned to a state of rational negotiation.
The panic has been entirely extracted from the system.
Yes.
If you are operating in Wise County this summer, you are dealing with a market that has found a healthy, sustainable equilibrium. The 12% volume jump in June proves that the local economy is resilient, and the 6.3 months of supply proves that it is disciplined.
It is a market that has successfully absorbed the shock of higher interest rates and is now moving forward with measured confidence.
Let's briefly recap the terrain we've covered today.
Sounds good.
We watched the pricing floor establish itself through the spring, culminating in a genuine volume-backed recovery in June.
Right.
We pulled back the curtain on the K-shaped divergence, revealing how equity-rich buyers are pushing the average price up 9.5%, while median buyers battle affordability limits.
Yeah. That was huge.
We identified the lock-in effect as the primary mechanism choking off new listings and preserving home values. And we decoded the volatile land data, separating institutional distortion from retail demand.
It is a deeply complex, highly localized ecosystem.
It really is.
But, you know, synthesizing all of these moving parts leads me to a broader, somewhat provocative question about the long-term trajectory of this specific county.
Oh, lay it on us. Where does the data point us next?
Well, look at the macro trends we just established. Inventory is organically tightening. Prices are reaccelerating at the median.
Yeah.
The upper tier cash-heavy buyers from the inner metroplex are increasingly dominating the transaction volume, driving the average price toward $500,000.
Right, approaching that 500K mark.
And the median price for raw land spiked 58% in a single month. If these mechanics remain in place, at what point does Wise County fundamentally lose its historical identity?
Its identity is the affordable, accessible release valve for North Texas.
Exactly. For decades, the implicit social contract of DFW real estate was that if you were priced out of Denton, Collin, or Tarrant counties, you could drive 20 minutes further west into Wise County, buy an acre or two, and find affordable shelter.
Yeah, that was the trade-off. Drive a little further, get more for less.
Right. But if the floor for a single-family home is rapidly locking in near $400,000 and land prices are surging due to institutional and luxury demand, that release valve is effectively closing.
Wow.
Are we watching the final days of accessible rural acreage in the immediate shadow of Fort Worth?
That is a staggering implication.
Yeah.
I mean, if the DFW middle class can no longer use Wise County as a geographic hedge against affordability, where do they go?
That's the big question.
Do they get pushed all the way out to Jack County or Montague? You were talking about fundamentally redrawing the demographic and economic map of North Texas. It
Exactly.
elevates these numbers from simple transaction data to leading indicators of a massive sociological shift.
That is exactly why we analyze the source material at this level of granularity.
Yeah, you have to look close.
The numbers always reveal the deeper structural shifts before they become obvious to the general public.
And that is the exact advantage we want you, the listener, to walk away with. We highly encourage you to apply this level of mechanical analysis to your own local zip codes.
Absolutely, do the work.
Look past the aggregated averages, understand the constraints on supply, and figure out who is actually driving the volume in your specific tier.
It makes all the difference.
It really does. Knowledge of these underlying mechanisms is your greatest asset in a transitioning environment. It allows you to operate with clarity while everyone else is confused by the headline noise.
Couldn't have said it better.
Well, that officially concludes this deep dive into the sources. Keep analyzing, keep questioning the consensus, and we'll see you on the next one.